How's everyone today? I pray you are well. Is there anyone not well? Just put your hand. Are you willing to be honest this morning? Any not well people? Got a couple hands I see here in the middle. Anyone else? Not well. Well, here's a promise that I have for you. God is with you, and whatever you're not well with, Jesus will help you to get to the other side. Amen? In fact, right now, Father, for those that put their hands up on the outside and those that put their hands up on the inside because they were scared about what I was going to do, I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, you'll be with them in their not well issue, whatever that is, whether it be physical or emotional, psychological, financial, whatever not well part they are at, that, Lord, you meet us at the well, and that, Lord God, you'll help us and guide us and strengthen us. We will come out the other side in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God is faithful, church. I can promise you about that. We've been talking the last number of weeks, and the title of this series is called Empowered. And no, this is not some kind of Tony Robbins self-help kind of thing that, you know, you can do it. Empowered by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's the one that makes a difference in our lives. And we have to come to a place of recognizing that in our lives. You see, before you were born again, before I was born again, we did things the way we wanted to do them. Everyone know what I'm talking about. You wanted something, you went after it. You wanted to do that, you did it. You didn't want to do something, you didn't do it. But when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all of a sudden now, you have what I call fork in the road experiences, where now you have a choice, not to just do what you feel or what you think you should do, but there's another avenue, and that's to be led by the voice of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. And it's a choice. God doesn't make you go down that road, but you get to choose. So you have fork in the road experiences. Now, I wish that we could have just one fork in the road. Now, here's what I mean. The day you said yes to Jesus, and you said, Lord, I'll follow you, I'll do whatever you want, and that's a done deal. And then from that point on, you were on the right road. How many people would like that? Yeah, right? But here's the problem. That was the first fork in the road. Then you woke up the next morning, and then there's another fork. Will you follow me today? And then you got to work, or you got to school, and a situation happens, and the fork is before you. Am I going to go my way and do what I used to do or what I always did, or am I going to go what God wants me to say and do? See, again, that fork in the road is before us every day, over and over and over again, and we get to choose. That's the difference between not knowing Jesus and Jesus. We do have the opportunity to choose. And I am reminded of the words of God the Father in the Old Testament. He said this. He said, I set before you a table of life and death. That's what he says. Choices is really what he's saying. And he says this, choose life. In other words, he's even encouraging us to do that. So that's what we talked about and being empowered. And the first week was connecting to the Holy Spirit. You know, there's introductions to begin. At the first service, we had Jason and Katie Hamilton. They just got married a couple days ago, and they came to church before they're going on their honeymoon. God bless them. Talk about putting God first. I'm not sure at that age I would have been thinking about. But they were, amen? And they were here. And so I asked them, well, how long was it from the introduction to getting married? And it was a couple of years. And the thing is, they didn't meet on their first date together and say, hey, let's plan our marriage. They didn't do that. They said, hello, my name is Jason. The other person, hello, my name is Katie. And they began what? To talk together, walk together, learn about each other. Until 2 years later, here they are married. It's the same with our walk in the Holy Spirit. You have introductions. That introduction begins the day you accepted Jesus into your heart. It's, hello, my name is. And Holy Spirit says, my name is the Holy Spirit. And you begin a walk. A daily walk every day of growing with him. And that brought us to last week where we talked about not just connecting, which was week one, but last week about growing in the Holy Spirit. Listen, just because you're born again doesn't mean that it ends there. You're born again to experience more of Jesus every single day. Can you say amen to that? But you have to choose. The fork in the road is before you. And listen, I'm speaking to the choir here. You're in church. You know, you want more of Jesus. You're saying, look, I need more of God in my life. Is there anyone here like that? You want more of Jesus in your life? I hope so, because let me tell you something. There's more and more and more in him. Amen? So I want to take you to a scripture today as kind of a launch point, and then we're going to move forward with something really, really special. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, to set the stage, because not all of you have been here the last couple of weeks, Jesus has already given his life on the cross, resurrected from the dead, all right? And then he stayed on the earth for 40 days after that. A lot of people don't even know that, even a lot of believers. He actually hung around. He didn't just go straight up into heaven. He hung around. And so we're picking up near the end of those 40 days. So let's look here, Acts 1, beginning at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when he had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so if we look here, we need to go back to verse 4 and 5. They're assembled together. He commands them to stay there until you're endued with power, right? And he's speaking of the Holy Spirit, that power that we receive. And then right away, the disciples are like, "Well, Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom?" You know, and here's what they were really saying. "Are you going to kick out the Romans who have been occupying us? Are you going to come and kick Herod out of the palace? And are you going to sit and rule and reign over us?" That's what they were saying. And we know that that didn't happen, right? So we know that there was a different kingdom he was talking about. He's talking about the kingdom of God within us at the time. And Jesus makes this statement to his disciples, and this is critical for us today. And he says in verse 7, he says, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put into his own authority, but you will receive power and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses to me, Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, to the uttermost parts of the earth." Here's the thing. Times and seasons. What was he talking about there? Well, that's two words for time, actually. The first one in the Greek is chronos. So how many people have a chronograph on them right now? Anybody? You want to watch? You got to watch? Your phone? It's a chronograph, right? You know, so all of us, how many people here could tell the time by looking at some device that they've got? Probably most people here, right? And if you can't, there's a clock at the back to make sure I don't go too long, all right? Just so you know. So there's a chronograph all around us, right? And so literally Jesus is saying the time. In other words, referring to the seconds of life, right? But then he says, he says time and time. Well, what's that word seasons? So it's the word kairos. And that's different. It means time, but it means a divine moment in time. That's pretty cool, right? So Jesus is saying, look, you don't know when things are going to happen. That's the chronos part. But there will be divine moments in time where I'm going to show up. And so literally, that's what the Holy Spirit does in your life and in mine. He shows us where to go, at what time, where, and divine moments happen. Supernatural moments happen. How many people want God moments in their lives? I hope everybody does, right? So here's the thing. We shouldn't be living for seconds, but we should be living for moments. You hear what? Let me say this again. It's pretty profound when I thought about this. We don't want to be living for seconds. In other words, just as the time goes tick, tick, tick. You don't want to live by time. You want to live by moments, those encounters with the risen Lord in your life. Amen? Now, here's the thing. You got that fork in the road in your life I was talking about. Can I tell you, Jesus is just around the corner, around one of those forks in the road? You know what I mean? There are moments that God wants to meet with you and do divine things, not only in your life, but listen to me, through your life. And it's through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that that can happen. So this week, what I want to do as we move on, we connected to the Holy Spirit, we're to grow in the Holy Spirit, but now we need to begin to serve in the Holy Spirit. Now there's a plethora of information in the Bible about serving Jesus. But you know, I thought, let's do something a little different. Let's actually talk to a servant of the Lord who can tell us about his life and encourage us to be servants. Amen? So I want to introduce someone very special to me and hopefully to most of you as well, Pastor Bob Wyatt. He's going to come up. Amen? Come on up, Pastor Bob. Amen? Now, Pastor Bob, just so you know, you may not know this, he is 92 years young. 92 years. Amen. Oh, he's going to move up his chair. Okay, there we go. Amen. You may have a seat there. God bless you. Amen. We had a wonderful time at the first service, and we're going to have a wonderful time after. And just so you know, if you stay till the end, there's cake. All right? Just so you know, if that will hold your attention a little longer. If you're all good, then we'll get through this, and there's cake to follow. Amen.
Boy, what a nice seat, huh?
Amen.
Boy.
Amen. So, we know you as Pastor Bob, but listen, there was a time where you were just Bob Wyatt, just a person, and you didn't even know Jesus. So, tell us a little bit about how you came to the point of meeting Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Well, Harriet, she was saved first, and in fact, all my kids were saved. I was the last one in the family to be saved, and it was hard, you know. It was like a separation. She'd be going to church, and I'd be home, and it really hurt, you know, that we were separated like that. But the time came when Frankie Gercio called me, and Frankie is Robin Stanziola's father. He's passed on now, but we played soccer in high school together, and
now, what year were you playing soccer in high school? Just to help everybody know.
46 through 50.
Oh, I remember that.
And he called me, and he asked me to come to a Bible study. And I said, I don't think so, Frank. And 3 days later, I was calling him back, telling him that, I'll be there. You know, you think about it, how many people are praying for you that you don't know. And I found out later that there was people in Syracuse praying for me even. But I went to that Bible study, and when I walked in the door, they were singing a cappella, Hallelujah.
Oh.
And boy, when that spirit just hit me, oh, so that was the beginning right then.
That's awesome.
And we was meeting at the time, I think, in the Green Church in back of what was Hyde Park Motors there. Mm-hmm. The church is still there, the little place there.
Yeah, the little chapel.
Yeah. And we would meet there, and you had to get there early, otherwise you wouldn't get a place at the altar. We had probably three deep at the altar praying.
Mm-hmm.
And come back, and we're singing, you know, singing, worshiping, and I was praying for the Holy Spirit, that I wanted to receive the gift of tongues, and I was praying, and the pastor's wife was up in front of me when I seen her last, and when I received the Holy Spirit, she was back of me with her hand on my shoulder praying. Boy, that was my daughters, they were there, and They thought I was going to break the pew. just so strong.
Mm.
And that was the beginning.
Amen. So, you know, this next question I actually should be asking Sister Harriet, but how did your life change from the before knowing Jesus to after?
What do you say, dear? I don't know. Probably the biggest thing was any disagreements or something that you were in, you know, you might argue about it, but after getting saved, we prayed about it than mm-hmm. than argue about it, you know.
Awesome.
It was just a complete change in the lives of both of us.
Awesome.
Even as you raise your children, it was different, you know. Such a difference.
Amen. Now we're, you know, the theme today is talking about servants, servanthood, serving Jesus, and you went through quite a life change, where actually, you know, something happened with your house. You want to share that story? You lived over in Bard Park, over off of Route 9, and you're not there anymore. So
no.
What happened?
It came a time when we could, this property was for sale over here, and the YMCA owned it, and they had a good pool here and everything, and that was, you know, and at that time the opportunity came to purchase it, but we didn't. There was no money to purchase it. So Harriet, she heard from the Lord, and I heard from the Lord. We didn't talk about it right away, but when we did talk about it and found out, that's when it came to pass where we sold our house to purchase this property, and we was even prophesied over about moving on the property, and that's when we sold it. I think we paid something like $13,500 for the house when we first got it with a 4.5% mortgage, you know, and we sold it, I think, for $153,000. I think that's what it was, and we had the money to purchase the property,
mm-hmm.
and then we went into an apartment for the time being until a house could be built up here.
Yeah,
and Dave Hendrickson built the house. And many of our parishioners, they worked on the house.
Yep.
They did different things on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it didn't seem like, you know, like a big deal where you would miss your house.
Right.
It felt joyful that we could move on the property,
yep.
And it's like a dream here. I mean, it was nice over in Bard Park. Yes, Larez and
they still live
Yusuf,
there.
They live over in Bard Park. It's nice. It's really nice there. And but it's so quiet and it's so beautiful here.
In fact, I can say this, that I wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be sitting there. There wouldn't be a church here. There wouldn't be thousands of people being touched for Jesus if it hadn't been for Pastor Bob and Sister Harriet making that decision back in the 80s to sell their house, you know, listening to the voice of God, and making that step of faith. So the question I have for each and every one of us, that fork in the road, that step of faith, could actually change your life, the lives of people around you. Again, it might not be a money thing. It could be just a decision to do something or not do something. You have no idea the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit can do and the outcome of it. You know, who would have figured that here we are sitting here as a result of Pastor Bob and Sister Harriet's decision that many years ago? That's mind-boggling to me anyways. Now, when you moved here, you still weren't Pastor Bob. You were just Bob Wyatt. So yeah. What did you do in those early days, and what happened?
When I retired at 56 from IBM.
That was your first retirement?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is your second retirement.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was, I worked there 36 years, and then I when I retired from there, they were able to hire me here. So I was mowing the grass there for a period of time. Yeah. And
well, hold on, let's stop for a minute. How long did you mow the grass for? Just asking, at the back. How long have you been mowing grass? You didn't stop, did you?
No, I did my last swipe up there in the field.
How long ago?
Probably a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So even though he did some other things, he's always been cutting grass. But amen.
I try to get everything done in the office so I could get out in the afternoon.
Amen.
But a lot of the whole thing is to be able to hear from God and
amen.
And know that you're not just not just coming and sitting in a seat here,
yeah.
But to be doing something,
yeah.
To be serving God, being part of it. Because when you're part doing something, man, you're seeing God work.
Yes,
you're seeing Him work in your life. boy, there's things that God had me do that I could dance after seeing what he does.
Amen.
You know, all we had to do was say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. No matter how much fear comes in, everybody has fear when you're called to do something you've never done before. But coming against that fear by doing what God is saying,
yeah.
Wow, it's exciting. Even you're talking about a funeral. You go to a funeral, you think, oh, sad, sad. It's exciting. I'm telling you, you go in there, you see the people that when you first go there, they're down. But boy, I'll tell you, when you get into the Word and you just show them that, hey, this isn't the end. This is this person that's gone. They're dancing before the Lord, and you'll be able to see them again.
Yeah.
Listen to the words. Listen to what God is saying. You'll be there. You'll see them again.
Yeah.
What a difference in the whole atmosphere of the funeral parlor. They're excited. I believed from the very first time I done a funeral that I couldn't have had more fear than that when God spoke to me and says, this funeral is going to be more. It's going to be more than a funeral. Mm. I want you to have an altar call.
Wow.
And I, Lord Jesus. And talk about fear. I was ministering, and then I said, I would like you all to come up for an altar call. And when I said that, I put my head down. I had my head down, bowed. I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I looked up, and they're all, every one of them are up except two people. And that was the beginning of every funeral that I'd done, that the whole purpose was to get the people to know that they can have eternal life, that they don't have to see that person here laying in the casket, that they'll see them alive.
Yeah, that's good.
And what a difference it's made. And you know, you're in awe because you know you couldn't do it, but you see God doing it. Right before your very eyes, you're seeing what God is doing. I've never seen anything, and I've never been so excited to see the awesomeness of what God can do.
Now, what happened, you know, when you came here and were living here on the grounds, cutting grass in the early days, you're happy as a lark, you know, just enjoying life, and you had no plans to become a pastor of any sort. Now, you became the visitation pastor. That was your official title, but how did you get from just cutting grass, which, by the way, is important, to, because you've been doing it, to being the visitation pastor? How did that happen?
The pastor would call me in from out there when I was out mowing. He called me in and have me counsel a couple that would come into the church. And that went on for a while. I lose track of time, but that went on for a while. And then our secretary that was our secretary then, she came to me. She says, by the way, she lived with us for 5 years before she got her own place. But she says, I hear you're going to wear a gown. And I said, what are you talking about? She says, you're going to become a pastor. I said, what do you mean you're going to pastor? Yeah, they're going to have an ordination here, and you're going to be made a pastor. And that was the first, that's how I found out that I was going to be a pastor. but you know, you don't tell God no. Even during the first Bible study, I was just saved, and the pastor said, you're gonna, he was doing the Bible study in our home, and he says, you're gonna be doing this Bible study here, and then a couple of the other guys are gonna do it here and here. And that was the first I heard about it, do a Bible study. All these times, fear would come in.
Yeah.
I was just saved. What did I know? And but God used it, and same with the pastor. Visitation. Did hospital visitation for years, and you know, I always remember the one that didn't say the sinner's prayer. Out of all the people that I had led to the Lord through the sinner's prayer, the one person that didn't, he's the one that I remember. But it was so many places you went, you know. It was Westchester Medical Center, Albany Medical Center, and then the prison in Sing Sing and downstate and Appanock, and it was all the hospitals locally. But it was, you could see what God is doing in every place you went. Just awesome. And the thing about it is when you hear from God, just respond, no matter what you fear that you didn't do it. Because who's done the things that God is calling you to do? You've never done the things that God is calling you to do. And that's why the fear comes in. But actually, you're not doing it, because you're just the instrument God is using to get what he wants done. And he wants somebody saved. He's going to use you to minister to that person. And when you come right down to it, it's not about you. It's about them being saved.
That's good.
And about them going to have eternal life with Christ.
In fact, you shared a story at the first service of, you know, sometimes it doesn't make sense when God asks you to do stuff. What about that guy that was in the coma in the hospital? You want to talk about that?
Yeah, well, that one fellow there, I went to pray for him down at Vassar, and
he's unconscious.
He's out. I mean, he's in a coma. I didn't know whether he's hearing me or not. And so I prayed for him anyway, and I got up and I started to leave, and God says, salvation. And so I went back again, and I grabbed his hand, and I prayed, and I led him through the prayer of salvation. And he was out. So I left, and when I come back, I looked at his bed. It was all ruffled. You know, this was CCU, I think it was. And
this was like a day or two later.
This was the next day.
Okay.
And I went to the nurse and I said, "Where is so and so?" And he's gone. And I said, "What do you mean he's gone? I thought he died." And he says, "He's moved on to another room." So they gave me the room, and I went. I stood in the doorway to the room, and I said, "You remember me? You know who I am?" He says, "Yeah, Wyatt." And I says, "Do you remember the prayer?" "Oh," he says, "yeah." He says, "And I agree with it." There he's in a coma. I didn't know whether he'd hear me or not, but God says salvation.
Yeah, it's good.
And,
it's awesome.
And the obedience to when God is calling is so powerful.
Yeah.
Because it's exciting, too. I mean, it's exciting to see what God does.
Exciting and scary, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's a scripture in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, says this, that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, or of power and love and of sound mind. And when I think about that, so often we still deal with fear.
Yeah.
You know, I do still at different in different circumstances. And I'm sure here when people come to that fork in the road, do I do it the way I've always done it, or do I go up this unknown road where Jesus is, that fear doesn't jump up. I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
So you've dealt with a lot of this because, you know, you're kind of thrown into the fire, so to speak. What would you say to those individuals here that they want more of Jesus? They want to listen to the Holy Spirit, but fear is just so scary to them. What would you say to them to help them?
God is faithful. Oh, God is faithful. And when God speaks to you and wants you to do something, oh, man, you just do it. Don't let fear come because he's going to be with you. Hmm. I had a girl, a nurse down in St. Luke's that she come out of this one room and she's complaining that she's got a headache. And God said, pray for her. And I said, Lord, yeah, pray for her. So I got up and I don't know who she, I don't know, I never knew her. I says, can I pray for you? Yeah. God prepared it. God has had, when he tells you to do something, he's got it set up already.
Yeah, amen.
He's just waiting for your response. And know that it will happen. It will happen. Don't worry about failing. God is with you, right? He says you never leave, you never forsake you. He's always with you.
So, amen. So, you know, you retired once. You're retiring a second time now. What are you going to do?
I'm going to keep hearing from God to see what God wants. I don't want to miss anything that he has for me.
Amen. Amen. It's awesome. So this is what I'd like to do now. I'm going to ask the pastors and leaders to come forward. I'd like us to lay hands on Pastor Bob. We're going to pray for him. Believe for more years of service. Amen. Yusuf, you want to bring the handheld up? It's right over there. Thanks.
Well, hello, Karen.
Amen. We want to believe anyone has a word from the Lord. You know, just speak it.
Hey, Robin.
I remember when I first came to reach out, I wasn't baptized with the Holy Spirit. And there was a service that Pastor Vic was talking about, the Holy Spirit, if you want to receive it. And I came forward. It was so much fear of what the Holy Spirit was. I've heard what the Holy Spirit was before, but never experienced it for myself. And Pastor Bob laid hands on me. And I never forget what he said to me is that, let it come out. Let it come out. Let it come out. And from that on, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I'm grateful for that today. Thank you for your obedience, Pastor Bob.
I got that. Who's got that speaker there? Hallelujah. Hello, everybody. How y'all doing? Amen. I remember, June 1st, yesterday, May 29 years that I came to this church. And the first person that I met was Pastor Bob. And I said to Pastor Bob, hello, he says, I can't remember everything, but he just welcomed us. And he was a good friend from the day that I met him till today. And I say, oh, Pastor Bob. Sister Harriet, you guys are huge, huge, huge in my life. I thank you. Thank you for being faithful, brother. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being faithful. And Father God, I pray their blessings. I bless them in the mighty name of Jesus, that name that is above all name. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, I'd like to echo what Norm said. Pastor Bob is the first face that we would see when we walked into the church. And he's been faithful for so many years that I don't know if he realizes how inspirational that his faithfulness has been to so many people. It's just, yeah, I can't put it into words. It's just a huge impact. As well as obviously Sister Harriet as well. Both of them, like Norm said, both of them are just powerhouses, exactly, staples, Lord God. And I remember I was bumped into someone in the supermarket, and they're like, hey, don't you go to Reach Out? I haven't been there in 15, 20 years. And I said, yeah, I go there. And they said, yeah, is Pastor Bob still there giving out hugs? Right? It's the Pastor Bob hugs I think we all know and we all love. Father God, I just lift up Pastor Bob as he's retiring, or as I like to say, refiring, Lord God. And Lord, we just pray that you would hug him, Father God, that you would just put your arms around him and Sister Harriet, Lord God, and just refresh them, Lord God, give them a new anointing, a new purpose, Lord God, new direction, just freshness. And Lord, just thank you for their faithfulness and pray for continued blessings and faithfulness in Jesus' name.
You know, when you walked into the church, we all know that Harriet and Bob was always at the front door. But I don't know if everybody realizes that he never forgot your name. You would walk through that door. He would introduce you. He would introduce himself, ask you your name. And then your name was like tattooed in his mind. When Vic was pastor, if someone was in the church and I forgot the name, I would go to Bob. Bob, what's that person's name? Because he knew everybody's name. You walked through that door, and you walked through that door once, and then when you walked through it the second time, you knew that you were walking into family. You knew you just walked in, and you had a family. I thank you, Bob. I thank you, Bob, how many times you've spoken to my life. How many times I was in that office and you would come over and say something, and Harriet too. Harriet, how many times you spoke into my life and prayed with me for my children. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to recognize your servant service to you. But Lord, as it's already been said, we know Bob as Bob and Harriet. The dynamic duo, Lord. We just thank you for the two, Lord. And Lord, we just ask for your continued blessing upon Bob and Harriet. Lord, that you would strengthen them in this time of their life. And Lord, as he even testified himself, Lord, we know that you are not done with Bob and Harriet, Lord. You're not finished with him. Lord, there's work to be done. And Lord, that he's going to minister to men and women and to children. And Lord, you've put a deposit in his life, Lord, and that deposit is not meant to be kept and saved, but to be given away. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this couple, Lord, for the sacrifices, but yet also for the joy and the peace, Lord, that they've been able to share with everyone they come in contact with. And so, Lord, again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Yes, it's good to put you here.
Give it up for Pastor Bob and Sister Harriet. Amen. And if they could, amen. Let's close in a word of prayer and enjoy a time of fellowship, encouraging one another. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that we could have this wonderful time together, rejoicing, Lord, over faithful servants. And Lord, by Pastor Bob's example, Sister Harriet's example, might we be inspired, Lord God, to have that same stability and same heart of servanthood from beginning to end, Lord God, in all that we've been called to do. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 God bless you.